Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Just want to say how much we love them, and it's an honor to be able to just bring the word today, and hope we do them a good justice. So, we're going to watch a real quick clip before we get started. How many, before we watch this, how many of you guys have seen the movie Jingle All the Way? I know this is kind of weird, kind of, it's just past the holidays. Ever, only half of you have seen Jingle All the Way? Wow. You guys need to watch that. That's like one of the classic Christmas movies. And it's funny. And it's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, you know? So, anyhow, in this clip, you're going to see Arnold is running around, and he's trying to find this gift for his son. And this whole time, this whole show is about him trying to get this gift because he forgot to get the gift that he was supposed to buy for his son. And it's Christmas Eve. He's running around, and he can't find this gift and because it's, like, sold off the shelves. And he ends up running into this back room being chased by a cop because he kind of keeps doing wrong to this cop throughout the whole show. And he runs into this back room, and as he runs in there, these people are like, "Oh, are you the guy?" He's like, "What are you talking about?" And they're ripping his clothes off and putting his clothes on him, and they're putting him in this costume. He's like, "Well, what are you guys doing? Who are you?" He goes, "You're filling in. Well, thank you for coming and filling in for the guy. The other guy, you know, he got hurt." And and then he's like, "Who am I?" And he realizes he's the character of the toy that his son wants, that he's got this whole costume that they just put him in, and it's the Macy's parade, and he's actually representing in the Macy's parade. He has it doesn't dawn on him until he starts going up into the float. And at this point, you see in this clip, I want you to just kind of watch this and see what happens. He's got to give this gift away, and then we'll continue.
Christmas, Jamie.
Wow. How did you know my name?
Great question. How did he know it was his name? It's because it was his father. That was his dad. Our daddy knows our name. Just want to let you know that. In this show, you see there's three characters, right? And there's Arnold, whose name is Harold, who's the dad. You got Jamie, who's the boy, his son. And then you got this other guy that's trying to cause chaos. You see, the thing about Jamie is he hears his father call. And he responds to the call. The call, you know, if he doesn't say his name, he doesn't know that he's talking about him, because you see how he's pointing, and the kids are kind of, "Oh, it's me, it's me, it's me." But he purposely calls out his name, right? Now, here's the thing. I guess it is a little bit easier to stand up here. I'm going to stand on the first step. See, this is how it is sometimes when God speaks to us or calls to us. He calls us by name. He says, hey, I've got something for you. I've got a word for you. I've got something I want you to do. And it's, we're that Jamie. We're that little boy. And it's our job to respond. Now, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people that'll stand there and they'll just go, huh, how did he know it was me? How did he know my name? And they won't get up and respond to what God is saying, to get up and move. One of the stories we're going to get into is we're going to get into the story of Jeremiah here in a second. But you know, one of the most important verses that I came across was in Matthew 11:15, and it says, he that has an ear, let him hear. It doesn't say he that can speak, let him speak. It says he that has an ear, let him hear. And there's a reason why God always is saying that, let him hear. One of the things that I find is that we have got to tune in to what God is saying. God is speaking constantly. He is constantly speaking. If you guys want to open your Bibles, how many of you guys actually have physical Bibles anymore? That's awesome. Yeah, just like that. I love physical Bibles. I like hearing pages turn. I think it's, I mean, nothing against the computerized stuff today. Yeah. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. We're going to start off with. It's probably going to be in the NIV up there. I'm going to be reading, just in this passage, I'm going to be reading out of the Holman translation. So it'll be a little bit different. It says here, the word of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests living in Anath, and some of these words are really hard to pronounce, Anathothuth, is in the territory of Benjamin. The word of the Lord came to him in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah, son of Ammon, king of Judah. It also came throughout the days of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, son of Josiah, king of Judah, when the people of Jerusalem went into exile. The word of the Lord came to me. This is Jeremiah now. He came to me. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. But I protested. Oh, no, Lord God. Look, I don't know how to speak since I'm only a youth. I just want to pause on that for a second. Don't ever underestimate our young people and the young and how they can hear. Don't ever underestimate. You see throughout the scriptures how many times God uses a young person. And he says, you think of Timothy, and he was worried about that same thing. You think about Moses, speech impediment problems. Never underestimate what God can use and how little he can use it at. Where did we leave off here? Yeah. Then the Lord said to me, do not say I am only a youth, for you will grow, for you will go to everyone I send you to and speak wherever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you. This is the Lord's declaration. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, look, I have filled your mouth with my words. See, today I have set you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and demolish, to build and plant. The word of the Lord came to me asking, what do you see, Jeremiah? I replied, I see a branch of an almond tree. And the Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I watch over my word to accomplish it. People, I want you to understand, he watches over his word to accomplish it. You see, Jeremiah was a really interesting character. And that was a really difficult time for the nation of Israel. They were very rebellious people, very rebellious. And when you study the book of Jeremiah, you find that they had this thing where they would worship idols. And they claimed to be worshiping God, but in their closets they would have idols. You can't do that. You can't be serving two masters. And you'll see throughout the book of Jeremiah how God tells Jeremiah to tell the king, you're not doing what's right. You know to do right, and you're still not doing what's right. And you'll see throughout the scriptures how he constantly tell, and it's over and over, year after year, he's telling them, just do what's right. Tear down the idols, come back to God, and things will be fine. But if you don't, you're going to be dealing with the Babylonians. And he told them that. And time again, he told them that. Now, Jeremiah is very unique. He's a prophet, you know, and a prophetic person was, you know, the word prophet in the Old Testament, they were a seer. They could see things. They could hear things specifically. Now, we have that same spirit that lives in us. That's the spirit of Christ lives in us, right? So we have that same ability. God can speak to us the same way today, right? We don't have to have just an individual prophet when the Spirit lives in all of us, right? Okay. So, in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, as we were going through, the Lord really nailed me with this verse. It says that, it's kind of a really interesting verse. It says, this is what the Lord says. I mean, I'm not going to go through and read all of this Jeremiah because you can get really depressed reading it, okay? It's a pretty hard book to read. But in 6:16, it says, this is what the Lord says. Stand by the roadways and look. Ask about the ancient paths, which is the way to what is good. And I thought, what is the ancient paths? What is he telling these people? What are the ancient paths? And you know what? As I went back and I'm thinking back to the time of Cain and Abel, it was to do good, to do what you knew to do right. He told Cain, he says, if you just do what was right, you're not going to have the problem. But you knew to do right and you didn't do right. And because you didn't do right, when you knew to do right, sin was crouching at your door. It was as simple as that in the beginning. And then, the laws come and stuff. But, you think about that. It's just sometimes that simple. Just do what is right in God's eyes. But what I want to really get across to you guys is the hearing part. God wants us to hear. And the thing about Jerusalem during that time is they didn't have ears to hear what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah's coming. I mean, he's constantly. And the Lord told me, he says, I'm going to protect you. And here's the interesting thing. You know, you think, oh, protection. You know, I'm going to be in a nice house and I'm going to, have a nice Lamborghini and I'm not going to be able to, God's idea of protection might be a little bit different than ours. Because he was in a prison. Because the king threw him there. In fact, he wanted to kill him. But then men started talking and saying, I think he actually is a prophet. We might want to reconsider killing the guy. Let's at least just throw him in prison. He acted upon hearing the word. He was obedient to it. Because he was obedient, he was protected through this whole thing, through the whole exile that happened to Babylon. In fact, you will notice, one of the thoughts I had here is like, the prophet's coming. He's speaking. They recognize even that he's a prophet. So I'm thinking, who are they listening to? Because they just continue to ignore Jeremiah. The king is just like, doesn't want anything to do with him. He even tells them things are coming. Even after they start seeing the prophetic word coming to pass, they still won't listen. And you're thinking, are these people crazy? I mean, come on. If somebody comes up to you, gives you, or you hear the Lord speak to you, or somebody comes and tells you, hey, this is what's going to happen, and you see it exactly happen the same way, you're probably going to pay attention a little more the next time, I would think. I mean, common sense says that. Not so. They continued to dive deeper and deeper and deeper, and they got proud, and they thought they couldn't be conquered, and they thought, we got it all figured out. They left. I don't want to say this necessarily, but I'm going to. It kind of reminds you of the arrogance sometimes of America. Does that make sense? How she thinks that nothing could ever touch her. It's the same kind of mindset that Jerusalem had. Nothing can happen to them. But unfortunately, when you have God against you, that's not a good thing. Now, that's not where I want it. That's not the point of this, is to show you that God was against him. The point is that Jeremiah listened, and he spoke the things to them. The people's response, the king's response to them, that was up to them. You know, he did his job, and he spoke. And it's really interesting. Second Chronicles, you know, you see everything that goes on there and the destruction and everything that's going on and all the problems. And Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves, seek my face and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. And, you know, they knew this, that if they would humble themselves, Jeremiah is telling them this. If you just do this, God's going to protect you. He will keep you. You may still have some trouble, but you're not going to go through what you're going to go through, you know, because what you're going to go through is a lot worse than what could potentially happen, you know. So do you ever think that maybe they just didn't quite understand how God was? That this is the creator of the universe, that when he speaks, things that didn't exist come into existence? That when the Lord speaks like that, you probably need to listen? I want to break it down to a little more simpler stuff, too. You know, one of the thoughts I had here is, these are just a little few thoughts about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes and lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the deserts, and in his temple all cry glory. Those are found in the Psalms. You see, sometimes the things that we may be battling is simply the obedience to the voice of the Lord. We may not be, you know, the answer could be simply in just listening and obeying. You know, I think about the message of, we always hear the verse that says sacrifice or obedience was better than sacrifice. And that is exactly what that was about, was the word that came to Saul at that time and what he was supposed to do. And he didn't obey. And that was a response that he was given to him from the prophet Samuel. See, what would have happened if in that movie clip, if Howard would have called his son and his son would have just stood there and said, no response. Would the father probably thought he didn't hear him? But see, here's the difference in the natural father and our earthly father. He knows we can hear. He knows we can hear. That's the reason why when he speaks and people hear, if they don't obey, there is no excuse. He knows we can hear. We're not talking about an earthly father. You see, in James 2:18, he says, the thing about the word is, we say, I have faith. I believe in God. I have faith. I believe in God. But faith is only as good as your action. You can say, oh, I heard God. I heard him. I heard him. He spoke to me. I heard him. What did he tell you? What did he tell you to do? Did he tell you to speak something? Did he tell you to write something? Did he tell you to do a business encounter? Did he tell you to do... How many of you have ever heard the voice of the Lord actually speak to you and you knew that if you didn't move upon it, something was going to... You knew it could be really good that was going to come about it. And it's challenging. You'll find that in the book, with Jeremiah, you find that as even through all the turmoil that's going on, Babylon comes in, and they're sieged by the Babylonians. And during this whole time, God tells Jeremiah, go buy some property. What? We're in the middle of a siege, everybody's selling their property. Getting out of the city, you're telling me to buy property. See, that's how God is. He doesn't make sense sometimes in the natural, you know. But you have to trust that he has your best interest at heart. right? But he had already gained the trust with God because he saw when he spoke, things happened. They exactly happened the way that God would speak them to him, to Jeremiah. So you may be saying, how do I know that God has spoken to me? Five things, you might want to write these things down, that can help you understand if it's the Lord speaking or if it's not. Five simple things. Could be God speaking through the Holy Spirit. You will know because whatever is spoken will be consistent with God's character and his word. His character and his word. It could be a demonic voice. Number two, it could be a demonic voice. Representing Satan. Sometimes you'll know because the thought is not motivated by love and humility or centered on condemnation. Be aware the enemy is a crafty deceiver. Okay? Number three, it could be your own inner voice speaking, a thought based on your logical reasoning, your will, or your self-centered emotions. Number four, it could be an internal witness or knowing. In our innermost being, a settling peace, a conviction that the decision we might normally fret over is the right one. For instance, a woman may decide that there's a job that she has and it's going to be a little less paying, but she knows that there's peace about it. She doesn't have peace with the job that is more paying, but she knows to follow the voice because she has that inner peace about the whole situation. Or number five, a supernatural witness, such as a vision, dreams, miracles, or a prophetic voice. Two tests to determine whether you are hearing the Holy Spirit is to ask the voice gently leading. Or is it gently leading, or is it commanding and harsh? Now, I know I'm using the book of Jeremiah, and you're probably going, that's pretty harsh. You know, he's kind of like really hard on. Yes. But if you look at how he deals with Jeremiah, who was willing to be obedient. It's like dealing with your children. How many of you guys have ever been really nice to your kids and then you turned into something totally different when they didn't obey? How many of you are willing to be nice when the kid is about ready to walk in front of a car? Don't do that. No, 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 no. You're going to grab their hand and say, if you do that again, you're going to get hit by the car and there's going to be no more of you. You're going to be very blunt with them, right? That is how God is. Sometimes he's going to be a little blunt when he sees danger. But there is the times, most of the time as a parent, how we deal with our kids is very kind and compassionate and loving. As a parent, I love my kids and I'll do everything it takes to protect them. Everything to protect them. If that means I have to be in their face and be hard about something, I'll do that. But if it means I need to be soft and gentle, I'll do that. What do they need? You know, we don't always need nice, easy things to hear. The nice, easy things sometimes get you in trouble. Just, that was off my note. That wasn't a part of my note, sorry. So, Two scriptures that go to determining whether it's the voice of the Lord. And Isaiah 40:11 says, he protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. James 3:17, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peace-loving, gentle, compliant, full of mercy, and good fruits without favoritism and hypocrisy. See, I have a friend of mine. Yeah, I know it's hard to believe. I have a friend. I only have one. And no, it's not my wife. Even though she's my best friend. Not that friend. Anyhow. So one of the days, this friend of mine is a very staunch atheist that I work with, was. And him and I would have some pretty in-depth conversations about God. Now, it's pretty interesting talking to an atheist that don't believe in God, but we're having discussions about God. Go figure. that's a whole nother subject in itself. But the point is this. I'm driving to work one morning, and the Lord impressed on me to pray for him. I had no idea why. I knew some of the stuff he was going through, but I didn't know why specifically at this moment. So I just started praying for him. And I got into this mode of really, like, it almost was like anguish praying. I mean, real deep, like almost tearful type of praying that I was moved to. And as I'm praying, I'm just like, man, this is, there's something really in the spirit that's going on here. I went to work a couple days later, and I ran into him in our cafeteria. And I was talking to him, and I says, hey, he comes up to me, and he goes, you know, I wrote this poem. I'm like, okay, what's that poem? And he writes this poem about, if you want to go to heaven, Jesus is the way. I'm thinking, okay, this is an atheist writing about if you want to get to heaven, Jesus is your way. Something just happened. I don't know what happened, but something happened. I got to talking to him, and I said, you know, and I read the whole poem, and it's beautifully written, and he's actually a writer on top of it. But I went on, and I said, when did this kind of come about to you? And he goes, oh, the other morning. I said, was it like two mornings ago? And he goes, yeah. I'm like, you know, I was actually praying for you at the same time you were actually writing that. Now, I wonder what would have happened if I hadn't taken the moment to pray the way the Lord was leading me to. And him and I have continued to have some pretty in-depth conversations, and God's doing a work in him. That's all I can say. There's some things that you can speak and say and talk and do everything, but one word from the voice of the Lord can change somebody in an instant. You see, when we first decided to move here, or not move here, when our pastors first decided to come here, that was 13, almost 14 years ago, almost 14 years ago. And they were the youth pastors of a large church up in Tacoma. And we decided, oh, we're going to, you know, we were the youth pastors at the time. We're like, okay, you know, this is cool. I'm going to go up there, hang out with them. And, you know, it was like, yeah, it was a really cool experience, you know. And then I felt this thing in my spirit that says, you know, this is going to be bigger than this. This is not just a one-time thing. And I felt in my spirit, you're going to learn from them. Okay, what does that mean? And I told that to Pastor Bob years ago. I didn't know what I meant. I didn't know what it meant. But I found out not too long after that the Lord was leading them to move down here and to become pastors down here. And, you know, it's just amazing when you listen to the voice. See, the thing about it is God is always speaking. He's speaking more than we want to listen. And I think that, and I don't want to undermine anything, but I want to say this. I feel like sometimes we spend more time trying to tell God how things should be and what should be instead of listening to what he says should be and what should and how things should happen. See, I think sometimes we need to tune these in. These things, sometimes I think we let this work real easy. But not this so much. And that's that way in a lot of relationships too, in general. People want everybody to know everything about their business. They don't want to take the time to listen to the other person. Sorry. Hope I didn't step on any toes on that one. You see, sometimes people think if God doesn't speak in an audible voice, that he's not speaking. That's not true. As we already went over the five things and the five ways. And we sometimes tend to put God in a box and limit him. When we see, when things don't go the way we think they should go, we think, oh, God's not listening. That's how we put him in a box, because it's not going to go the way we think it should go. Kind of like Jeremiah, or maybe even King David, when he was anointed king, what happened? He's anointed king, yet he's still running for his life. It took him years before they actually put him on the throne, even though he was crowned king. Jeremiah had the word. He knew he was going to be fine, but he's sitting in a prison cell. He'd been beat up. He didn't understand how he was going to be fine. As you begin to listen and obey the voice of the Lord, you will begin to develop trust that you hear the Lord's voice even on a busy street in downtown Portland. I know that's kind of hard to believe, isn't it? Sometimes we can even, you know, one of the things I think can happen is sometimes we can, in our own personal lives, we can sometimes miss the whisper. We can be going along and running and doing our thing, and we know the Lord may whisper something, and we can ignore that, and we go, uh-oh, what's going to happen now? Story I read, a woman, simple story. You may think nothing of it. I think it's kind of a simple way of how the Lord does things. She was getting up one morning, getting ready for work. She put on these high heels. And she felt like, yeah, don't wear those high heels today. She ignored that unction that she felt. She walks out the front door. Her heel gets stuck, snaps the bottom of the shoe off, and she breaks her ankle. And she thought about it for a second. That was the voice of the Lord. Just something simple like that. And she recognized that, and from that point on, she learned to listen to that voice in the story that I read. You see, in John 14, 16 through 18 says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to see him or know him, but you know him because he remains with you and will be in you and will not leave you as orphans as I am coming to you. In John 14, verse 23, 26, Jesus answered, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The one who doesn't love me will not keep my word. The word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while I remain with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father, will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. See, the Holy Spirit does that. It speaks to us. It reminds us. You know, Paul, when he was going before the kings and I think it's Felix he went before, he said, don't worry about what you're going to have to think about. I'll give you the words when you go before the king. How can you plan how to speak before a king? You need the Holy Spirit at that point because you have no clue what is the proper thing to say at that point. I'm thinking about that. If you don't know this, one of my favorite authors is a guy named Dr. Ravi Zacharias, and I reference him a lot. But I remember hearing about him talking about how he had gone to the African National Day of Prayer Breakfast in Africa, and he was one of the keynote speakers there. And after he had gotten done, he said one of the leaders of one of the countries came up and put their arm in his, and he looked at him and he says, with all our cumulative wisdom, we have no answers for the daunting challenges ahead of us. Who do you think would have the answers? But you cannot figure those answers out if you're not hearing. What Africa needs is people that hear God's voice and act on obedience. They recognize that they don't have the answers for what's going on. See, the obedience to the God's voice and his word leads to life. It doesn't lead to destruction, it leads to life. To disobey can lead you into areas you don't want to go. Because, see, I think what happens is a lot of times we're, you know, and this is just in some cases, but you're walking a path, kind of like the lady with the shoe, and the Lord can say, take a left, or take a right. And you're like, why? Maybe I shouldn't do that. And then you realize, you know, an hour later, there was a car accident right in that intersection. And the Lord had you go a different direction, because if you hadn't, you would have been right in the middle of it. I mean, I hear stories like that all the time. You see, Jeremiah obeyed God by speaking to the king. He heard God speak. He spoke what he was told to speak. That was his part. Through that, God's protection was upon him because he was obedient to it. Even though Jerusalem was under siege, like I said, he told him to buy a field, right? Told him to buy property. Who would have think to do that, right? Only God would think to do that kind of stuff. In the end, after everything happens to Jerusalem, Jeremiah is a name that even Nebuchadnezzar knows about. And he comes up and he goes, "Do you have a prophet named Jeremiah?" He's telling the king of Judah this. He said, "Do you have a prophet named Jeremiah that actually spoke that this was going to happen to you?" He knew the word that had been spoken that was going to happen to him. He says, "Yeah, yeah, oh yeah." And at that time, the king's like, "Oh, yeah, he did warn us. He told us everything in detail that was going to happen. Oh." Jeremiah was set free by the king of Babylon. Was not taken into exile. He was set free. And he actually becomes a voice to the Babylonian kings. That's really powerful to me. I don't know about you guys, but that's very powerful to me. You see, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. We're going to watch one last little clip, and we're going to end the service. You may have seen this on YouTube. If you haven't seen it, I hope you enjoy this about how we as people can hear the voice of God. We are like sheep. Do we know our master's voice and only his voice? Let's watch this clip here at the very end. So the question would be, do you know his voice? We're the sheep in that picture. They came to his voice. It's, you know, we have to know the voice. If we don't know it, you know, we may stand around wondering all day long. You can have all the voices, but it, you know, I let them all come. Let them yell. Let them try to come. But when he calls, we have to be willing to obey. We have to be able to respond. Because if we don't, it can mean life. But it can also mean the opposite. You know, It's up to us. He puts it in our hands and says, hey, just do. Obey. It'll be well with you if you do. I want to encourage you. Practice listening as you're at home this week. Pray and then listen. Hear him. I promise you he will ask you to act upon something. I promise you he will ask you to talk to somebody. I promise you he's going to tell you, hey, there's some business opportunity for you. I want you to do this. And you're going to go, yeah, that doesn't make any sense. But I'm going to do it anyhow because I trust my Father. I trust my shepherd. God is good. So I just want to pray over you guys, and then we can close. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we know your voice, and a stranger we do not know. And I thank you, Father, that as people leave today, Lord, that their ears are tuning in, their spiritual ears are tuning in to hear what you have to say, Father. And that they will come and say, I've heard what the Spirit is saying, and it is clear what I must do or not do. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that as we go, that we are encouraged, Father, that you are a good shepherd and you want what is good for us. You only want what is good for us. But it is up to us, Father. We give you thanks, for you are the great shepherd. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you for all coming. Hope you guys have a blessed rest of the day. Go Seahawks. Woohoo! All right.
Yeah, mine's fine.